Holy Spirit, we are yours, you are ours. Continually remind us today and every day of our truest identity as children of you. Use my words, may they be yours, and continually form us into the image of the one who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't we all just get along? Have you said that? Have you heard it said recently? Or I know my parents, I'm sure, said it to me when I was fighting with my brother. And I'll probably say it to my kids if I haven't already. You might have heard this said, where two or more are gathered, there will be disagreement. Yeah, one of the hardest things in the world is relationships. Relationships and community. And I think one of the reasons, not all, but one is the reason Frederick Buechner's famous statement said, our deepest fear and our greatest need is one and the same, and that is to be fully known by another person. Although community relationship, it's a bit of a buzzword these days. Churches like to say it all the time. We want to create, you know, community and be a place of community. We say it and we want it, but when we actually get close to it, we start to realize how challenging it is, right? And it is often hardest, that relationships are often hardest with those closest to you, right? Sometimes your sibling relationships are some of the hardest, but family and those close can be hard. Well, the church in Corinth was dealing with that. It's filled with people, and therefore it has the challenge of disagreement. But Corinth started to have a number of different factions form. They had a bunch of big personalities, and they weren't even necessarily trying to get followed. They weren't even trying to say, hey, come with me and we'll do it. They weren't necessarily trying. It was just naturally that cliques and groups started to form and then work against each other or look down on each other. Well, Corinth was a bit of an American city. Almost like New York City, or almost like America. It was founded in 44 BC, the Roman city, founded on the ruins of the Greek city. So you already have this big multicultural mix, and it stayed that way. It was this prosperous, bustling international trade center. They had big tourism, they had manufacturing, and the people there were driven, competitive, achievement-driven, self-promotion. People saying, hey, I can do it myself. Kind of go-getters, you might say, and freedom and liberty and knowledge, all of that is very important to the Corinthians. And so you can see how that kind of gets into some of them competing with each other in different ways. And so Paul essentially asks in these verses, what are you first and foremost? Who are you first and foremost? What is your highest allegiance in your heart? What is your first identity marker? Are you Corinthian first? Are you a Roman or Greek? Or are you a stonemason or a merchant? Or what do you think of? Who are you? Do you think of yourself as wealthy, poor? Who are you first? Deepest in your heart that drives everything else. And then he says, let me appeal to you of what God says you are first. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you agree with one another, and that there be no divisions, and that you are perfectly united in thought and mind. Now, does that mean they have to look alike, speak alike? No, he's saying the thing that unites you is the biggest thing that could unite you, and that is Jesus. And we have unity, not uniformity. You don't have to look the same, dress the same, talk the same, but we are united in Jesus. So he keeps going. Verse 11, he says, brothers and sisters, I've heard from Chloe's house that some of you are saying, you know, I follow Paul. And there's a group claiming that. And others saying, I follow Apollos. Others say, I follow Peter. And then others saying, yeah, well, I follow Jesus. You know, beat that. But then he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? No. And then he kind of rambles a little and says, well, I'm thankful I didn't baptize anybody, because then you would claim, you know, that you're more important. Oh, wait, but then I baptized a few people. But hey, you know, he rambles a little bit. But then he says, my calling was to preach the cross and the gospel, because that is the power of God. In verse 18, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, we'll talk more about that verse next week because that strings us along into the next section. But he really is asking, who are you first? What's deepest in your heart? What's your first identity marker? And he says, you are first and foremost baptized into Christ. You are first and foremost a child of God because Jesus died for you. You are first and foremost crucified with Christ and risen with Christ. That's who you are first. Everything else shakes down under that. And if that's who we are first as a church, well then you can see how you can be unified even though you're different. First and foremost, you are forgiven, made new, baptized. And if you get that one thing straight, then unity is possible. But we are constantly tempted to put something else in that, but whether we know it or not, and he says, in Corinth, that's what's happening. People are saying, well, I know Peter. Hey, you know, I know Apollos. I get my answers from Paul. And so they say, you know, my source is better than your source. And we're tempted to do the same thing too. Some people say, well, I went to that school, or I have this job, or I'm an American, or I'm a founding member of this club, or my dad is famous, or whatever it is. And none of those things are bad, but they're not first. And if any one of those things becomes first in your heart, then you start to have problems. See, Paul is saying unity is possible when you are a Christian first. Unity is possible when you see yourself first as a baptized, forgiven child of God. Because what is the gospel other than a restored relationship? We can look at strained ones that we have in our lives or had in our lives and say, man, that's hard. But what is the gospel other than God restoring your relationship to Him? God recreating community that we ruined. God reconnecting what we tore apart. And the way God did that was dying on the cross. And you see that on the cross, it both divides us and unites us. It does. We think the cross divides and the cross unites. And here's how the cross first divides us. The cross divides me from my pride. At the cross, my pride dies. You get divided from. At the cross, your self-centeredness gets divided from you and dies. At the cross, personal divisions that come from pride, those die. At the cross, when you are baptized into the name of Jesus, buried and raised with Him, your pride dies, your arrogance dies, my looking down on other people dies, you're puffing yourself up, that all dies, that is divided out of you in Christ. And we start to see that it's my sin that put Jesus there, but it's His love that kept Him there. And when your pride dies, your heart starts to live, and that's why the cross unites. The cross unites. When your pride dies, your humility flourishes. And when my self-centeredness dies, the community starts to flourish. Because you can put other people ahead of your own needs. And we start to say what Paul says in Galatians, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And then you are free. We are free from protecting yourselves. You can put others first. You are free from getting your way. We are free from controlling everything. You're free from worrying excessively because you are in Christ. That's the first thing in your heart. I think of a picture of unity it was on September 11th, on that day. What happened in that night? If you remember, all the lawmakers in Washington, D.C. stood on the Capitol steps together and made a statement. On that day, they all said, doesn't matter which party we are, we higher than our parties, we are what? Americans. And that was a sign on I watched it, so that still stuck in my head as a signal of unity in the hierarchy. And Paul is saying, great, 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 but what's at the top? It's that you are in Christ. And you and I are united in that, united in our need for the grace that only Jesus can give you. And we are united in the grace freely poured out on the cross. And so to answer the question, can't we all just get along? Well, we can say, I am baptized, and so are you, so it's possible. Can't we all just get along? I want to follow Jesus, and so do you, so it's possible. Can't we all just get along? I am forgiven, and so are you, so it's possible. And can't we all just get along? I am made new by Jesus, and so are you. So it's possible. See, at the cross, it's all possible. Not only that, as Paul tells us, it's expected. And so may the peace that passes all our understanding, may it continue to guide and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.